Welcome to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, on your official home for Jaguars football. AM 690 and 106.5 FM, News Talk Radio WOKV. Voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton.
Brian Sexton.
Color analyst, Jeff Loggeman. And Jaguars.com senior editor, Vic Ketchman. Break down the last Jaguars game and take a look at the next time we take the field. Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Aetna. We want you to know the Jacksonville Transportation Group, the official transportation provider of the Jaguars, and by Prudential Network Realty, extremely full service. Now, to get things started, here's Brian Sexton.
Hello and good evening. Welcome to Jaguars This Week, live from WOKV Jaguars Central inside the stadium, presented by Aetna. I'm Brian Sexton. Vic Ketchman is here. Jeff Loggeman is probably in the woods somewhere. Mm-hmm. Don't know where he is. Don't know what gun he has in his hand. We're sure it's not Gerald Sensabaugh's AK-47, though. That's in Kingsport, Tennessee. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. What a knucklehead. Are you kidding me? Hey, this was a guy that played well this year, by the way. He was going to sting somebody in free agency.
You know, do you know much about Kingsport, Tennessee?
I know where it is. That's about it.
Kingsport, Tennessee has a tremendous story. It is famous for, infamous for something. Something I bet you don't
know. Not a Johnny Cash song, right?
I think the name is Alice the Elephant or something, Helen the Elephant or something. You don't know the story?
I don't know, but I'm going to look it up.
It goes back to like 1910 or something. A circus in town, the elephant accidentally, this poor elephant accidentally killed somebody. And the town then decided to hang the elephant.
You're kidding.
So they took the elephant to the neighboring town of Irwin, and where they had a railroad yard, and they hung the elephant from a crane, a railroad crane, you know, the picked up railroad cars.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And killed the elephant.
And if Sensabaugh doesn't move out of that town, they're going to hang him.
Marry the elephant.
Marry the elephant.
Marry the
there
elephant.
There you go.
God bless the internet.
The doggone story I have ever heard.
They demanded the death of Mary the elephant. Yep.
He's got to get out of that town.
Well, you know, he's been arrested there 3 times in the last 2 years. I would never go back. Just stay away from
it. And I'm sure they don't want him back.
No, I bring it up just for all of you kids listening now. Listen. Millions of dollars were at stake for Gerald Sensabaugh. Millions of dollars, and he had to go and do that.
I mean, what is that, to deter elephant crime? I mean, what is to be gained from that? It didn't know.
I know. <It's> oh, stop. Odd history. September 12th, 1916, they demanded the death, Kingsport residents did, of circus elephant Mary for her killing of a city hotel worker named Walter Red Eldridge, who was hired the day before as an assistant elephant trainer by the circus. On the evening of September 12th, Eldridge was killed by Mary while taking her to a nearby pond to splash, frolic, and drink.
Little known fact.
Yeah, the details of the aftermath are confused in a haze of sensationalist newspaper stories. No! And folklore. Most accounts indicate she calmed down, didn't charge onlookers who were chanting, kill the elephant. And we'll just leave
great town.
The story right there okay. Where it is. Soon to be former Jaguar, his contract expires next week. And we move on, just like the Jaguars mm-hmm. did with Fred Taylor this yeah. week. If you have not had a chance.
We last week, now, when you were out doing your segment, Jeff and I got into this.
Right.
I kind of knew it had to be coming because they were coming up on the deadline. Fred had $1 million roster bonus. So if you don't pay the roster bonus, he's immediately, you know, he's free. What the team did was, instead of doing the kind of weakling thing, the cowardly thing of just letting it expire, which would have been after free agency begins, they were proactive. They went down there. They met him and his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, for whom I have respect, and I'll tell you why okay. later, face-to-face and said, we're moving on, and we're going to give you a chance to get a head start into the first day of free agency.
You'll be available.
Exactly. So you can get top dollar and top team. You know, get what you want, the circumstance you want. Drew Rosenhaus can, you know, start to work on that.
Okay.
By the way, my respect for Drew Rosenhaus is this. there was a point in early in Fred's career when he lost his rookie signing bonus, a ton of money.
Through Tank Black in that pyramid scheme.
Exactly. And Fred was devastated. Not only was it the loss of a lot of money, it was the betrayal that really devastated him. He was really, really hurt. And Drew Rosenhaus, he hired Drew Rosenhaus as his agent, and Drew Rosenhaus put together a recovery team that found nearly every dollar of that money in the Canary Islands and returned it to Fred. And for that kind of not only effort, but that kind of expertise, for that kind of professionalism, I really respect Drew Rosenhaus, and I'm biased there because what he did was he made happy the sad life of a guy I really like.
Right.
Fred was down in the dumps, and I don't know if he would have achieved what he has in his career if Drew Rosenhaus hadn't stepped in, found that money, and given Fred a better perspective, a happier perspective on life and football.
You know, and Rosenhaus, to a degree, has cultivated that sort of bad boy agent perception
that
out there.
Jerry, what's the guy?
Jerry Maguire was modeled after him. You know, kind of the slickster, the guy, the deal maker.
Yeah.
But anybody that I know who's ever dealt with him, whether it's a player who's hired him or someone in a front office, will tell you that he is the best.
In my opinion, if... I'm not going to say he saved Fred's career, but
he turned it
around. He made happy a guy who was really down in the dumps. He righted a wrong.
The other person in the equation, and I don't know whether a lot, I know that some people have had a chance to meet her, but his wife, Andy, is
there. You go.
I mean, very strong woman, mm-hmm. strong person. And if you've ever been around Fred and Andy, you got the sense that it's kind of hokey. The soulmate thing, the two of them were together. They mm-hmm. really were. And I'm telling you, they just have done a phenomenal job of helping him along the way. Sad to see him go. I know you are. Sad to see him go, but happy to see him finish his career in a sense that he has gotten more out of 11 years than any of us thought he would back in 2001 when he fell to the ground against Tennessee.
I kind of look at these things as graduations. I look at these things as almost happy occasions because... Man, when you've got 11 years behind you like that, it means that you have done so much. If 11 years ago you had said, here's what you will do. You'll rush for, 11,000 yards?
Yeah.
All right, you'll rush for 11,000, I think it's 11,271 yards.
Right.
Okay, you'll rush for all these yards.
13,632 total yards.
Okay, and you'll play touchdowns for all these seasons, and you'll have all these fans love you, and you'll score all these touchdowns. Now, will you take that? You betcha I'll take that. So now all of a sudden we're gonna look back and say, oh, this is sad. No, it's not sad. This is very, very happy.
Right. The only reason I say sad to see him go is I like talking to him.
Yeah. Well, that's what's sad. I'm gonna lose a go-to interview guy now.
But you're gonna lose that guy that'll come up behind you and stop and talk and have a conversation. He's a guy who came in the league in 98, okay? Mm-hmm. That's certainly, modern era for your career, all mm-hmm. right? But he's an old school guy.
So
there aren't many of those guys
that's
left.
Right. So I said this week that Fred was a guy who worked with us, not against us, right. Meaning the media.
Right.
We need now replacements. I think Maurice Jones-Drew can be that kind of spirit in the locker room. I'm hoping that this team is going to draft some rookies who will help us in that way. You know, that's not Derek Harvey's thing.
No. I will say this. Do you remember the Vikings game? They're down 14-0 early, and Jack Del Rio called his team around him and was giving them, I don't know what you call it, pep talk or keep your head in the game or tongue lashing. But I kept thinking there should be a player who would be able to do that. Mm-hmm. And I think Maurice Jones-Drew is the guy. I think he is a strong enough personality, a big enough personality, that he will become that guy in the locker room that maybe the Jaguars have never had.
Mm-hmm. We'll see.
I really believe that.
I'm not big into the cheerleading thing.
No,
I'm big into things that are said in the locker room that become perspective for the team.
I don't mean.
And Fred became very, very good
right.
at perspective. In his last 4 or 5 years. He became outstanding at establishing perspective for his teammates.
You don't have cheerleaders in locker rooms that really are successful in the NFL. I don't mean it like that. And I don't mean it for the public, you know, where everyone can see it. But I just think his personality is strong enough that he has a charisma about him, a gravitas, to use a political word, that his teammates really respect. And I think he'll fill
that
void.
You know when the turning point for Fred's career was as a leader? You know what? When it happened? I can tell you exactly when it happened.
Okay.
It was the game against Indianapolis. I think it was 2003 when he ran over Mike Doss.
Yeah, it was up there.
Okay. Doss somehow did something to him on the ground, took a cheap shot or whatever. Fred remembered it. And for the game.
Oh, you're talking about the run here for the touchdown.
Right.
It was 2003.
Okay. But earlier that week, he had said some things that were very, very challenging.
Right.
Of himself and of his teammates, and then he backed it up. When that kind of a thing happens, then all eyes turn to that player as the guy who can back up his words, so we will live by his words.
Right. And I think Drew is the kind of guy who can take it from here, but we'll find out. Time for a break. Joe Fortunato will turn on the microphone and work with Vic here over the next segment. I'm off to CBS 47, share some thoughts on leadership with you, and we're back with more right after this.
To talk to Brian, Vic, and Jeff, dial 355-NFL-1. Outside the Jacksonville calling area, dial 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on AM 690 and 106.5 FM, News Talk Radio, WOKV.
Well, Brian and Jeff aren't here.
I can take it.
I know you can. I know you can.
Welcome back to Jaguars This Week.
Do it.
Presented by Aetna on AM 690, WOKV, and
106.5 FM.
Them too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I knew you'd get it.
Oh,
Easy enough.
I can do this radio stuff, Joe.
You know, before you get started, and I know you got some calls coming too, one of the security guards popped in here. Larry popped in here, and he said, before we went on the air, does this have to be a rebuilding year, or can we win more than we did last year?
Yes, they can win more than they did last year because the schedule's isn't real tough, and I think this team is going to have a new energy about it for the obvious reason that there's going to be an emphasis on it. That it lost some energy last year, and there's going to be a major emphasis on reconstituting itself this season, and I think they can do better than last year. I'm not going to tell you that this is a playoff contender. I'm going to tell you that this is a team that wants to believe it can make the moves required to become a playoff contender. What are those moves? What do they have to do? Well, they got to get a left tackle. They've got to get some help for their defensive line.
It's a good draft for left tackles, right?
Yeah, they should be able. There should be a left tackle at the top or near the top of their board when they pick. Can they get done what they need to get done to become a playoff contender? Probably, but I don't want to talk like that. I think that to start talking like that, Joe, is to delude ourselves and to start whipping ourselves into a frenzy or maybe unrealistic expectations. I think we have to go into this with the idea that there's a lot of work to do.
You know, speaking of Joe, something that got lost this week because of the whole Fred thing. How surprised are you that they re-signed Josie?
They've certainly got, they've certainly got the salary cap room to do anything they want to do. I'm sure that Joe Zelinka has been a good player for them. There was no reason not to re-sign him, but it's not like long snappers are holding a gun to your head. You know what I mean?
Right. Right. I know.
But this team has got some major cap room. They've lost Porter, Florence, and Fred, and they were way under the cap to begin with. Now they're going to be further under the cap,
and maybe more people.
So I mean, they can pretty much do anything they want. And Joe Zelinka is a guy they like. I'm assuming that they didn't give him Jerry Porter money.
Right.
So I mean, It's good. I mean, they have a guy they like, and so they're set there. But it's not like it was a primo signing. Why don't we get that caller?
Yeah, we'll go to Orange Park and talk to Jim. Jim wants to talk about Freddie. Hey, Jim, you're on with Vic.
Hey, just a question, I guess, about where you think Fred might go and what kind of money you think he's going to demand. I mean, he had a $6 million deal this year, I guess, and you think somebody's going to pay him anywhere near that kind of money?
Well, I'll tell you what, Jim, and anybody else who wants to do this, sit down and make up a list of teams that are looking for 33-year-old running backs. You know, and I'll bet you'll have a short list. Now, I think Fred would like, I'm sure he would love to stay in South Florida, Miami or Tampa. I think you start there. I don't know what Miami's, what the Dolphins need is at running back. I know they've got Ricky Williams and they've got Ronnie Brown. And I know that Tampa might have a more of a need at running back. Cadillac Williams has been injured. So, but I think you start with those two teams. Where do you go after that? I don't know. Atlanta? They've got Michael Turner and Jarius Norwood. No. Do you go to Carolina? They've got Jonathan Stewart and the guy from Williams, the guy from Memphis State. You look around this league, and you're not going to find a lot of teams that are, I think your list of teams looking for to sign a 33-year-old running back is going to be very short.
All right, well, I guess we'll stay at must be Orange Park Day at WOKV Jaguar Central. We'll talk to Wes. Wes, you're on with Vic.
Hey, Vic. Joe, how you guys doing?
Good. How about you?
Good. Vic, I've got a couple questions for you, if you can hang in there with me. The first is about three players from last year I was kind of interested in. We'll see if you think they might make a bigger contribution. One was James Wise, the defensive end. He was playing really good in the preseason 2 years in a row, and he got hurt. And then Toy Williamson, who I remember reading your articles and stuff. He was getting good separation at training camp against, of course, against our cornerbacks. Maybe that's why he didn't play so good in the regular season. But we'll see what you thought he could do this year. And Chauncey Washington, it seemed like he ran really hard in preseason. But once again, that's preseason. And what do you think about those three players? What do you think they can do this year?
I have no expectations for the first two. Chauncey Washington can be a backup running back on this team, and he's got some special teams abilities. He's the guy of the three you mentioned. He's the one who I think is worthy of some development time.
Okay, good. But so you don't even think the other two will even be on the team, huh?
No.
I'm a little surprised about that. But that's, you know. Anyway, the other thing was in the draft, I know they got three real good offensive tackles that are rated kind of highly.
I think there's four. I really think that you can go four deep when you talk about premium left tackles.
Well, I think the guy from Alabama and the guy from Mississippi are below the other two, and I think the other two will be gone by the time we get drafting. Dart, number eight pick, I really do. I think it'll be those two will be gone. So I think the highest rated player maybe that Jeremy Maclin, that wide receiver. I just want to see what you think about him. You think the Jags might draft him and stay true to their best player available?
If he's the highest guy on the board, I would have no problem with him. I have seen him play. He's a playmaker. He's a big time guy. If he is the top guy on their board, then pick him. I have no problem with it. But I'm going to tell you this now: if you have two guys at the top of your board and they have identical grades, and one of them is a left tackle and one of them is a wide receiver, take the left tackle. You got to get the big guys early. The wide receivers you can get later in the draft. If a wide receiver is the highest rated guy on their board when it's their turn to pick, take them. I have no problem with that. But I would not press the issue. I would not favor a wide receiver. Those guys, you want to know the truth is, they're a dime a dozen. Compared to the big guys, compared to the left tackles, wide receivers are a dime a dozen.
All right, Victor, let's take a timeout. That was quick, huh?
You stole my thunder. I was going to do all this Sexton stuff. And
you want to do it? Go ahead. Got plenty of music for you.
You do it, buddy.
All right. Tell you what, Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna will be back. So will Brian Sexton. So will Vic Ketchman. This is AM 690 and 106.5 FM News Talk Radio, WOKV. In 60 seconds, news is next. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Vic, and Jeff, dial 355-NFL-1. Outside the Jacksonville calling area, dial 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on AM 690 and 106.5 FM, News Talk Radio, WOKV.
Whether you're running to train or training to run, Under Armour has the answer. Visit your local sporting goods retailer to learn more about the latest innovation in run. Or simply visit underarmour.com. Brian Sexton, Vic Ketchman, a special unnamed guest, and, of course, Joe Fortunato is here taking your calls at 355-NFL-1. We'll get back to them. Vic's headed to the Combine on Friday. Mm-hmm. You've been in this league a long time. Have you ever covered the Combine?
No. When I was in the newspaper business, it was off limits for newspaper guys. It's only been on limits, so to speak, for media people. In recent years, they've turned it into a kind of media event, although not really.
They don't let you inside the
No.
Inside the dome. Yeah. Well, it's now at the Lucas Oil Field, but they don't let you in there yet, do they?
No. It's like covering something they won't let you see. You know,
well,
that's kind of tough to do. So the NFL Network shows it on TV. But
you got lots of stories. I mean, there's lots of guys there. There's coaches, personnel types, agents.
You go there to hang out at the hotel and talk to people you recognize, agents. Personnel people, etc. From that standpoint, it's good.
Lots of stories.
I'm going there to cover our people here. Coach Del Rio, Gene Smith, the new team's new general manager. I want to talk to scouts such as Terry McDonough. I want to talk to assistant coaches, the coordinators such as Dirk Cutter and Mel Tucker. I want to talk to these people not only about what they're seeing at the Combine, but how it mixes with what has to be done to prepare this roster and put this team back into a playoff contending position.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to it because I think that we have people now, and when I say now, I'm referring most of all to Gene Smith, who want to talk. It's kind of been a secret society in recent years. You know, we haven't gotten much out of that personnel department in the way of direction. In other words, when I say not directing us, but what their comments about their direction and their thoughts, it's been a secret society.
Well, I know we talked after Gene's news conference after the Senior Bowl, mm-hmm. about how good he did. And I don't know what...
He's very forthcoming.
He was great with us the other day when he talked to the broadcasters.
A personnel guy needs to know how to talk, how to pass information without passing secrets. You can't divulge your board, your scouting reports, the information that is important that you keep to yourself. You can't divulge that information to the media, but your fans have a right to know what your thinking is in terms of how you operate. Gene Smith has told us that he is a dyed-in-the-wool, best available player drafter, and I believe that. I don't believe that's baloney. I really believe that he is representing himself correctly.
But this will be the first year that he's actually been the man sitting there making the pick, so it'll be interesting to see him.
I've done interviews with him since he's become general manager, and he has charmed me in his interviews. He referred to himself as a second-day pick. I like that.
Okay.
He told me the other day that it's his objective to hand his coaches clay. You know, not a clump of dirt, but a clump of clay. This is what I want a personnel guy to say. I want him to talk, flowery about the scouting process so that I can get a feel for it, that I can pass on to the fans that will allow them to get a feel. And he can't tell you, I'm going to take this guy.
Oh, no.
But if you read between the lines, if you read his
He's
comments,
big on that. You can do
he'll
that.
Give you an idea. For instance, if a guy tells me, you know, I want to draft guys who look good in the shower, which
right.
is old scouting language. What he's saying is, I'm looking for guys who have physical stature, who have talent, and then I'll let the coaches teach them technique.
Right.
You
I'll
see?
Give you an example.
So you have to know how to read these
guys,
too.
Yeah, I'll give you an example from his news conference the other day, and I think it went over a lot of folks' head. They wanted to know, money, how is money? What about negotiations with money when it came to Fred? And he said, we think we have a very competitive situation at running back on our roster right now. And he's telling you, without mm-hmm. Fred, we think we're very competitive at running back.
Well, I'll
right
tell you
now.
What he said the other day that
so,
I liked.
So he's telling you right there, it wasn't about money, it was about the best players.
First minute he's in the room, he sits down, and I said to him, I'm going to ask you right off the top, Gene, let's get this out of the way. Whose call was this? This was a joint decision, and weighing it, and all of a sudden he stopped. This is my call. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
And he caught himself, he stopped, and then he made sure right away that he accepted total responsibility and accountability for the release of Fred Taylor. And what that tells me is that this guy is sharp. He understands for what he is responsible and for what he is accountable.
He's so strong. I hope that Jaguars fans are getting a sense of just how much promise Gene Smith as the general manager of this franchise offers. Real quick, scout the scout. You've been around a lot of great personnel people. You talk almost lovingly about Tom Donahoe and, and Tom Modrak. I say that very respectfully. I mean, you really have high regard for those two men. You go back through Chuck Knoll and his crew. It was Art Rooney.
Art Rooney.
So what do you see in Gene? Do you see?
I see good things. I see good things. And I'll tell you what. I know other people who cover this team, veterans who see good things in him too. This is a strong-willed man. I like what I heard this week. He was put in a very tough spot. Okay, here you are. First ever general manager in this team's history. And you are now given the responsibility for cutting the roster. And by the way, here's your first assignment. What are you going to do? Now, your first job is to cut Willie Mays?
Yeah.
Your first job is to cut Babe Ruth? That's a tough job.
355-NFL-1. Let's grab a quick phone call, then take our final break of the evening. You're listening to Jaguars This Week on News Talk Radio WOKV, and we'll grab James in Mandarin. Hello, James.
Hey, Brian. How you doing?
Good.
Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to say, I think we all expected it. You know, it is a business, but releasing Fred really got to me. You know, I was at the Baltimore game when he showed us what he had in the beginning, and I happened to be at the Colts game, not knowing that it was his last game.
Game wasn't his last game.
Well, his last home game.
No, Chicago was his last game.
Okay, he didn't play in that Indy game here.
Well, that just ruins my story, Vic. Thanks, buddy. Anyway,
I'm sorry for speaking the truth. I mean, let's never ruin a story by confusing it with the facts.
Thank you. The guy just gave us so many great memories, and I was just wondering, can you just share one story from one of you, just the best Fred Taylor memory that you have?
Would you like it to be the truth or fiction?
Truth, please, Vic. Thank you.
Thanks, James.
Mine is the performance that he turned in Pittsburgh, over 200 yards. Man, the guy's legendary. Have a great night, guys.
234 yards rushing, 243 yards total, 3 touchdowns. You know, I think he still holds it, too. Fred had the most rushing yards against the Steelers at Three Rivers.
He's the all-time leading rushing leader in Three Rivers Stadium.
And at Heinz Field he was after his performance there.
That's right.
Last December. And I don't know, I haven't looked whether someone got that this year or not.
Well, you know, those aren't stories. Those are facts. So I'm not going to retell you something that you already know. Joe can go back to the broadcast call and tell that story. What I'm going to tell you I'm going to tell you a story that is dear to me that you may not know. And it goes back to the summer of 2007. I went on vacation, and while I was on vacation, Fred stepped in and did my Ask Vic column. He did the Q&A. And when I came back, I didn't know that until I came back, and I found out that he had done the Ask Vic while I was gone, and he was a huge hit and did a fantastic job with it. And it just, I mean, my heart just swelled with affection and pride, because you know when Fred came here in 1998, that wasn't in his repertoire. That wasn't his. I described him as a shy and suspicious rookie, a guy who kind of looked at things, you know, unsure whether to trust them or not. He was somewhat of an untrusting kid. I have only ever known one other player, and he is Mel Blunt, to have grown as much in his time in the National Football League as Fred. Fred Taylor and Mel Blunt grew more as men and in ways of maturity than any other players I have ever covered. When he left in his last season, last year, Fred was doing interviews with a vocabulary that was...
became important to him.
That was very impressive. He became someone who spoke in a very literary way.
All right. I've got a story, too, but we have to get a break. So let's do that now. We'll come back with one final segment of Jaguars This Week. Only on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it. Five minutes left in our program this evening. 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Got a question during the course of the break about offensive tackles in the draft, and certainly that's an area, Vic, I'm sure that the Jaguars and their fans will be focused on. So let's go right to it. Alan in St. Aug. Hey, Alan, how are you?
Hey, how are you guys?
Good.
Enjoy your show.
Thank you.
Quick question about the draft. Assuming for a second that we do take one of the three tackles you see talked about, do we know how much difference in ability they are between each other? And if we end up with the third choice, if the two are taken before us and we get the third person, is that still a real good pick for us?
Let's make sure we're talking about the same three. You're talking about Andre Smith from Alabama, right?
Alabama, Virginia, and Baylor.
Yeah, Jason Smith from Baylor and Eugene Monroe from Virginia.
Well, let me see if I can give you a little inside information. What I think might be a little inside information. Eugene Monroe is a finesse left tackle. He's a pass blocker extraordinaire. He's the guy who kept Brandon Albert at guard at Virginia. Now, Brandon Albert has turned into
they're thrilled with him in Kansas City.
Sensational left tackle, right?
Yes, he's a left tackle.
At Kansas City. At Virginia, he was kept at guard because Eugene Monroe is that good. Eugene Monroe is a finesse left tackle, as I said. He's not a drive blocker. This isn't the kind of left tackle that you draft because you want to run left and you want to run it down people's throat. This is a guy who's going to protect your passer's blind side. Well, the Jaguars certainly have a need for that. He would be a great pick for them. But I detect maybe a little more interest in or affection for the kid from Alabama, Andre Smith.
Oh, he's massive.
He's a little shorter, and right?
He's 6'5", 350.
What's Monroe?
I think Monroe's 6'5". I'll look it up.
I think Andre Smith, that may be a little bit, exaggerated a little bit. I think he's going to measure out. Yeah, I think he's going to measure out a little smaller than his Alabama media guide measurements. But Smith is not, the kid from Alabama, Andre Smith, is not an accomplished pass blocker, but he is a savage run blocker. He is much more physical than Monroe. Andre Smith would be a little more of a gamble, but I think he has more upside. When Andre Smith is taught the technique for pass blocking, and if he is able to grasp that technique and become the kind of pass blocker that Eugene Monroe is, Andre Smith will be a all-pro left tackle. He has the ability to be a savage run blocker and a stifling pass blocker. He has to learn. He just has to learn the technique for it. Eugene Monroe is ready to go.
Okay.
You plug him in right now as a rookie, and your quarterback's blind side is going to be protected. But that may be as good as he gets. Andre Smith has upside, much more upside.
All right, what about the kid from Baylor?
Oh, he's outstanding. But the problem with him is he played in a 2-point stance at Baylor. He did very little 3-point stance stuff. He's got to be reshaped.
All right, here's the numbers on these guys. Eugene Monroe lists out at 6'5" and 1/8, 310 pounds. Jason Smith is 6'4" and a half. 300, and it says Andre Smith 6'4 and 7/8,
yeah.
341 pounds.
I've actually heard in the 6'3s.
All right. What about the Ower kid from Mississippi?
Fabulous, but I've also heard from the neck up, he's going to have to be rewired.
All right, but is he a first-round pick?
He's a top 10, top 15 pick, no question.
Are all four of these guys?
A lot of guys have Ower at the top because his physical abilities are through the roof.
Okay. the four guys that we've just mentioned, Monroe, Smith, Smith, and Ower, could all go in the top 10.
Yeah, I think Andre Smith has the highest upside of the group. He represents the greatest risk of the group. Eugene Monroe, I think, represents the least risk. He's blue chip.
But is he as good as he's going to be?
There may not be much upside with him because he does not appear to have a run-blocking side to him.
Okay, and then beyond that, you've got a Meredith kid from South Carolina, the Britton kid from Arizona, that massive tackle, Loadhold, who seems more like a right tackle from Oklahoma. There's a bunch of guys out there, someone from Connecticut.
You get your left tackle in the top 10 this year, okay? You get your left tackle has to be from one of those four guys, or he won't be your left tackle this year.
One of those four guys.
Does that make sense? You understand what I'm saying?
Yes. Okay. One of those four guys will be there when the Jaguars draft.
More than likely. And more than likely, I can't say more than likely he would be the pick, because what if Mark Sanchez lights it up at the combine on Sunday and he's there? If you're truly a best available player drafting team, you're not going to pass on that guy.
You going to give us a quick call next Wednesday? You'll be back.
I'll be back.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, we'll look forward to hearing from you.
Absolutely.
Vic Ketchman, ladies and gentlemen. Joe Fortunato, thank you. Have a great night, everybody. Thanks for joining us at WOKV.
This has been Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, brought to you by North Florida's labor unions, such as the Association of Firefighters in Duval, Nassau, Clay, and St. John's Counties, and Community First Credit Union, the home of First Down Touchdown for teachers. Jaguars This Week is a presentation of the WOKV Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network.